This is Brian, call me the Fool in the Rain Gardener, coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Dungeon Towers, Ramblon Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblon Radio, episode 105. Ramblon Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might happen to mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblon Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, you know, you use your podcasting thing and you go over there and you're checking out, stop and leave a review. Downloading Robert Plant's latest, the live, I forget the name of it, sorry, but the live one that he did on Record Store Day and has recently been released to iTunes. You're going over there, just pop over to Ramblin' Radio, do a quick Google search, and just leave a review, and it helps. The more reviews, the more that the computers at iTunes recognize that I'm there. You can also listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com, and be sure to follow Ramble on Radio if you're on Spreaker. Out on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. And also go on over to Ramble on Radio on YouTube, and I have some, you get a chance to see what I look like anyway, some of the older episodes are up there. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. The intro to today's intro, by the way, today's intro was September 4, 1971, Led Zeppelin's last appearance in Toronto, which is my part of the world. I'm coming to you from more or less Toronto, and that was the last time they performed in Toronto. And I've never got a good answer why, and I've asked a few people over the years, and I've kind of looked at the books, and everybody just seems to think it just didn't happen, which makes no sense to me. They went to Buffalo, they went to Montreal. The idea that, oh, this isn't going to work in Toronto, doesn't make any sense. It doesn't at all to me. But anyway, that was What Is and What Should Never Be from Toronto. How many years ago? 44 years ago last week. So there it was. All right, I'm going to move on fairly quickly today onto the topic. Apologies that I meant to do this last week. It didn't happen because ultimately, it was the family kind of got in the way. And I don't mean that badly, by the way. Not disparaging the family. What happened was, my son had been working all summer. My daughter has been living out of the house for the last year. She's going back to school. She's going to finish her degree. And she's moved. So she moved back 2 weeks ago. My son finished his job, his summer job, 2 weeks ago. So last week, there was you know, I thought to do it a couple times. Every time you'd walk, my son had basically encamped himself in the basement in the dungeon here, and had his the DVD player set up and his games set up, and we have a big screen projector down here, and he just basically moved in for a week and a half. And my daughter's kind of gets everywhere in the house. She's one of those, and you know, my son locks himself in one space for 12 hours at a time. My daughter's the opposite. She flitters around the house. And I just couldn't find a quiet corner in which to do this. So it didn't get done last week. So next, everybody's back to school. Everybody's back to work. It's raining today. It's going to cool everything down. So we should get back to a more normal, non-summer setup. Starting now. But again, I wanted to get this one out the door, but it wasn't so. So this week we're going to talk about one last time, all the albums are remastered, they're out the door. We have bonus material for every single Led Zeppelin album. We have them in fully high-def, beautiful sound form. We have it all. And I've talked and talked and talked somewhat to death about it. Every album's got a bit of a review, but I've talked about. We've looked at the bonus material and bitched about some and not bitched about others. And, you know, raved about some stuff you heard and so on and so forth. So this time I wanted to just look at one last time the remasters. Strictly the bonus material. Nothing but the bonus material. I wanted to rate the albums based on the bonus material. So it completely ignores how I feel about the album itself. The original material. This is all about what did they present new. If the original albums didn't happen and they laid out these 9 albums with nothing but the bonus, what would we be thinking? And actually that's not right either, because I'm going to be looking at it in reference to the bonus material, obviously. In reference to. And lots of bands are doing this, right? Lots of bands are digging through the vaults and finding this demo version of this and a concert here to put out and stuff. And I think my biggest disappointment, and I'm going to, right up front, I'll say, I'm taking the first album, I'm taking this out of the discussion. The reason is because it stands head and shoulders from a bonus material standpoint above the rest, in my opinion. Fair warning, right? The trigger warning, as the university profs would say. he's freaking out, he doesn't like the album I like. This is strictly my opinion. Nothing else going on here but me opining. You may disagree thoroughly, strongly, whatever. And I have my own criteria for what I like and don't like. Led Zeppelin 1, heads and shoulders above the rest from the bonus material standpoint, because it's a live show from the era, and it is just, that's what I would have loved on all of these albums. I don't care if it's a full show, a snippet of live material, a disc of live and a disc of the bonus stuff would have been great. You know, like Elton John did Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and he had, it was a 4-disc set. He had some, you know, kind of half a dozen or so outtakes and that sort of thing. And then he had a disc of basically the album being done by other artists. Then he had a disc of live material. I would take it without the disc of other artists. The Stones recently did Give Me Sticky Fingers, right? Is that the one? And I think, I'm trying to remember now. And this is a short-term memory thing, so it's not going to be good. But I believe they had a live show in there. So I would love to see more of that sort of thing. So one is, and I'm waving it in front of the computer as if you can see me. Should have done this one on YouTube because I got all the discs out. So one I'm putting aside. One's going to bed. It's not going to be talked about. It's a good live show. It's not an exceptional live show. There is complaints about some of the snipping and editing that was done. I don't care about that. You're trying to cram it into one disc. I understand that. Be nice if you could do it without cutting and editing. But these guys did 3.5-hour shows sometimes. These guys went on and somewhat on and somewhat on. And they jammed and they... And if you can tighten that up to present it in on a one disc instead of having 2 discs because we're 3 minutes over, I understand that. That's a commercial consideration. And whenever you're releasing something like that, commercial considerations are going to be involved. Like in the 70s when Led Zeppelin was releasing stuff, commercial considerations were part of the deal. And that's true of every band. Somebody like the Grateful Dead, who's, you know, all left-wingy and stuff, they had commercial considerations when they release their albums. That's just what you do. That's why their albums are 40 minutes long and they're this, you know, the songs were 5 and 6 minutes on the album and 25 minutes on stage. That's what they all do. So for commercial considerations, some editing had to be done, and I'm happy with that. And I would have been far happier with 9 live shows, 1-disc live show. Give us the best of what you got, and ultimately, you don't need to present Stairway to Heaven from 1972 and 1975 and 1977 and 1979. So you could have, at the end of the day, you could have released almost the entire Led Zeppelin catalog as a live show. you know, and just not repeated yourself. If you'd have put the effort into going through the live tapes and sorting out what you got, that you put into finding all these bonus material stuff, all these outtakes and whatnot, you could have come up with a fairly comprehensive collection of live material. Every song covered, and not had to go into the multi-disc sets for live. So it was doable, I guess is what I mean, and a little editing, and would have been my preference. So that's stated right up front. That bottom line, that's all I'm saying. I'm stating that right up front. So without one, here's how I rate these. And I'm rating them, it's almost like two groups of albums. There's three that are good, good to very good, and three that are eh. And I'm going to, the three that I think, or I'm sorry, and five that are eh. The three that I think are good to very good, or four if you include one, you know, one. Then it goes Coda, House of the Holy, and three. Then under the line is Presence, In Through the Outdoor, Physical Graffiti, two, and four comes in dead last, in my opinion, when I'm looking at just the bonus material. And I will, of course, spend the next 40 minutes explaining myself. So let's start with Coda. Let's go to Coda, and I have them all beside me. Actually, somewhat prepared today, if you call having CDs beside me prepared. So it's a two-disc set, Coda. It has We're Gonna Groove, If It Keeps On Raining, When the Levee Breaks, Bonzo's Mantra, Baby Come On Home, Sugar Mama, Poor Tom, Traveling Riverside Blues, Hey Hey What Can I Do. Four Hands, which is four sticks from the Bombay Orchestra, Friends from the Bombay Orchestra, St. Tristan's Sword, Desire, Bring It On Home, Walter's Walk, Everybody makes it Through. So a number of thoughts on this one. This one comes up, to me, is heads and shoulders above the other ones, mostly because it's a double disc set, I suppose. But when you look at things like, for one, it's got the Hey Hey What Can I Do, which I think, to me, belonged on three. And When the Levee Breaks, If It Keeps On Raining, When the Levee Breaks, which to me belongs on four, not on this. And they're both, you know, those are things you want. And I know Hey Hey What Can I Do is out there in various forms, but it still has been presented in album form on Led Zeppelin. And in this way, I shouldn't say it hasn't been, but not significantly. And so I think it's a big addition, as I say, When the Levee Breaks, When It Keeps On Raining. And then you get into the Bombay Orchestra stuff, Four Hands, Four Sticks, and Friends of the Bombay Orchestra. St. Tristan's Sword, which is a new song, no lyrics, and maybe if it had lyrics in it, you know, maybe could be a kind of instant Led Zeppelin classic. It's very good sounding, very promising sounding, and I love, I've actually listened to it a few times, which I can't say much of the instrumental stuff. And then there's Everybody Makes It Through, which is an In the Light rough mix. This shows up twice. This shows up on, in fairness, Physical Graffiti, I've kind of listened to all these, but Physical Graffiti, for some reason, is not standing out of my mind very much. But Everybody Makes It Through, an early version of In the Light, makes it onto Physical Graffiti. Then in this version of In the Light, makes it onto Coda. So this variation of In the Light, Everybody Makes It Through, shows up twice, once in Physical Graffiti, once in Coda. I prefer the Coda version to the Physical Graffiti version. Just saying. But I'm gonna discuss that. I will discuss the significant changes in songs and the new songs on their own later on a bit. So we won't get too much into that. But so yeah, with those additions, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 significant songs, I think. Oh, and then Sugar Mama. Sugar Mama. And I got to type that down really fast here. Which is a jam up. It would have made it onto the first one had they not done a live version of the first one. See how this works? So you could have done 8 live ones and then slapped all the extras, all the new songs and really significant change songs onto Coda. And you'd have been done. You still could have got really the stuff you had to get out there. And But anyway, I'll get there. I have to learn to be more patient with myself. So that's, yeah, to me, that's with Corda. There's 8 or 9 songs that are significant there that I'm happy to have on a bonus material set like this. And then there's some stuff. The Wanton Song, Desire, the Wanton Song, Bring It On Home was kind of, you know, it was just stuff. It was works in progress, and the final version was a better version, right? Baby Come On Home is also on this, which was on... and Traveling Riverside Blues, both of which were not released as part of the original album packages back in the 70s. Came out in the 90s with the box set. Baby Come On Home, I Could Live Without That song. So I might have said this recently, but one of the lists, one of the email, I think for Badge Holders Only, they were doing a, so what song don't you like? What's your least favorite of the Zeppelin songs? And I think Baby Come On Home would be that, probably mine. Traveling Riverside Blues is excellent, of course, off the BBC Sessions as well. It's been around the block a bit, but it's nice to have in it. Because it's not on one of the other albums in any other form, that's then see it, much like Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? You know, it belongs in this kind of an outtake album. So yeah, that's if you turn this into one disc, you have a really, really good disc from Coda. You might even have a choice or two to make. You might have to, am I taking Baby Come On Home off, or am I taking, you know, what else would you take off, I guess? I guess it's between that and Troubling Riverside Blues. You know, you might have to make that choice. There might be one too many songs in there. So that's, yeah, I think that's far and away the better of the, now, again, I want to repeat this, and I should emphasize this. I don't have a favorite Led Zeppelin album. I don't have a least favorite Led Zeppelin particularly. I've talked about the least favorite a little bit. And I'm not a big fan of Tool, and I'm not a big fan of Coda. But what I would say is I have, you know, kind of, again, there's groups, right? There's the bottom three and the top five, or top six, I guess, I would say. Let's say bottom four, top five. And the top five would be 3, 4... Presence, Physical Graffiti, In Through the Outdoor. Bottom four would be 1, 2, Coda, and Houses of the Holy. And one even kind of is in between those two groups. I could almost slip it into either group. And yet, there we go. The best two of the bonus materials are two songs off the bottom group, or two albums off the bottom group. How do you like them albums? Which maybe tells you that that expectations, because the next one is also off the bottom group. It's probably my least of the favorite albums overall, but I really loved what they did with it in the bonus material side, for a different reason than Coda, by the way. I had a thought. It turned out to be fleeting. So Houses of the Holy comes next on my list. Houses of the Holy would probably rank as my least of the favorite in the entire... Well, maybe Coda below Houses of the Holy. So yeah, the top three would be on my bottom four. So yeah, maybe that's what I was saying. Maybe it's a product of expectations is the way this list. Maybe four is on the bottom of the list because I love four so much. And then when you saw what... You were hoping that something came out with four that was... you know, significant addition, and it's not going to happen. Maybe. That's a possibility. We have to accept that possibility. But I am trying to justify myself otherwise. So Houses of the Holy makes, you know, this is way up there for a couple of reasons. And I got the wrong page set here. Because it's got The Song Remains the Same, Over the Hills and Far Away, the instrumental versions, and I just think both of them really reflected the depth of their songwriting. They were both showed themselves to be extreme. There was other, you know, instrumental versions of songs that popped up, and they tended to be like pop songs, which is say verse chorus verse chorus, for this for that, not significantly, not above and beyond what other pop bands were necessarily doing. And that's a bit unfair. Gallows Pole was a build song, and it was an interesting instrumental version for that. And there's some aspects of the instrumental versions that were interesting. Don't get me wrong on that. But Song Remains the Same showed itself to be a comprehensive song without any vocals, without any words, without the melody, really. It was fully formed. It was more like a classical piece. And I could see taking what Jimmy did here on Song Remains the Same and turning it into an orchestral piece, and it would work very, very well. And on the album itself, on the original album, it's a song I don't like very much, and it took me years to get it into me that, because I love the Song Remains the Same version. And then, I think when I saw Page and Plant and they were playing it live, and I was going, oh, this is great. That first Page and Plant tour, and you're sitting going, but I kind of don't like this song, but wow, this is great. And then I started, you know, hearing, I got into the bootlegs and things and a bit, and you start hearing what they were doing with it live through the years, and you go, possibly the Houses of the Holy performance of the song is the worst performance of the song through all the years. It's really, to me, it just, and it seems to be in Robert's voice, and you know, the rumor is there was a speed up on the tape. The tape got sped up, and it's a production issue. I don't know whether that's true or not, but it sounds like that. It really brings this song back around to me to be a song that I love, just as the instrumental version. And by the way, on the regular version on this disc set, on this remastered set, they seem to have improved the song Remains the Same that way too, in terms of the vocal, that whatever's wrong with the vocal. The Rain Song is another one that kind of falls in very nicely. It's just mixed minus piano, and it's a little more guitar-y, right? But it works very nicely. Then Over the Hills and Far Away is another complete instrumental song that works very well as just an instrumental album. And I'm checking my stats here. You kind of keep an eye on the recording as I go, and that's what I was just doing. Often said, if you know, as I write a number of blogs too, often said, if I win the lottery, I'd hire an editor, and the other thing I'd hire is a producer for this show. Just so I don't have to worry about how's it working, how's it sounding. And, what are we going to do for the intro? Somebody else can pay for that, or do that, I'll pay for it. Now the rest of it is just okay. They really completed the album. They did on the fourth and on House of the Holy. They did the entire album again. Oh, and In Through the Outdoor, I believe, as well. They did an entire take of the album with different takes, except for this one. They leave out Jamaica, which I approve of, by the way. And I don't think there's anything horrifically wrong with Jamaica, other than it's a song that's, it's a mediocre song that's heavily overplayed, and it's probably the bottom 10% of Led Zeppelin songs, and it's probably the top 10% of songs that get played on the radio. So it just has grown over the years to bug me a bit. So doing House of the Holy without Jamaica was an approved process, but really it's those three songs, what they demonstrated, where these guys were coming from at this time, and they are comprehensive in their own. And I have in the car, this is the one bonus disc that I have. If I pull this album out to listen, I keep all these discs in my car, right? If I pull this album out to listen to, I tend to go to the bonus disc instead of the regular disc. This is the one album I do that with, which probably means it should be above Coda, maybe. I don't know. But I don't pull Coda out to listen to one way or the other. That's the difference. And that may change. That may change because Coda's only been out a month or so. And, you know, over the course of a year, we'll see if I actually listen to the bonus material in that very much or anything. But that's... So House of the Holy is the nextest. And then we go to 3. And 3 is a funny one because I really was disappointed in 3. It was one of the ones, you know, the first ones came out and great live show on 1. 2 was a big disappointment. 3 was a big disappointment. But I've grown to appreciate what they did on 3 a little bit. I gotta pull it out of here. Here we go. So it's the Immigrant Song alternate mix, Friends, no vocal, Celebration Day alternate mix, Since I've Been Loving You, rough mix, first recording, Bathroom Sound, which is Out in the Tiles, no vocal, Gallows Pole, rough mix, That's the Way, rough mix, Dulcimer in My Bag, Jennings Farm Blues, and Keys to the Highway, Trouble on My Mind. Now this one is on the list, the top part of the list, for two reasons really. Since I've Been Loving You, rough mix, and Keys to the Highway, Trouble on My Mind. I mean, the Immigrant Song alternate mix is, it just, you know, you gotta kind of got to listen to the two back to back, go, oh, there's this slight difference. And same goes for That's the Way. And same kind of, Gallows Pole is a little, Out on the Tiles is an instrumental, is what I was talking about earlier. It's verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. They weren't, this depth of their songwriting really wasn't there yet here. And all they really demonstrate by presenting an instrumental version of that is this. I mean, imagine a world where you listen to, say, Sweet Home Alabama without the lyrics, and you quickly go, oh, yeah, okay, I've heard this before. You know, because they it's repetitive. That's what a rock song does. And pick almost any rock song, and it does. And Out in the Tiles does. It's a little less so with even Friends. It's a little less so with Friends, but Friends isn't... I mean, Gallows Pole would be more interesting without vocals because it builds and grows. And actually, I think I said earlier that it did, but it just says rough mix here. So it's a slightly different mix of Gallows Pole, as I recall. Oh, there's a lot to remember in all this, isn't there? Jennings Farm Blues is Bronyar Stomp electrified, and it's existed in other versions before. It's existed out in the bootleg market before, but it's still interesting to listen to. It says rough mix of all guitar overdubs that day. I didn't realize it said that. So it gives you an idea of where they started with that. It's a bit like hearing, you ever heard the acoustic version of Honky Tonk Women, which was actually on the album before, and I don't have my Stones albums locked in my head, so forgive me, but Honky Tonk Women came out in like 69. In 68, they released an album that had a song called Something Country Honk, which is Honky Tonk Women, but an acoustic guitar kind of country thing. And they obviously played with it through the years and through the year and came up with what they came up with and decided, well, let's do that. So you kind of hear that process with Jennings Farm Blues. It was an electric song, and then they moved it back to an acoustic. You know, and the different tuning and whatnot. Keys to the Highway, we're getting into new songs. Keys to the Highway is excellent. Tis excellent. I almost would say I would take this over Hats Off to Roy Harper, which made the album. And I said at the time, I suspect the reason, because it comes from the same session, I suspect the reason they didn't pick this one is because it's another acoustic song. Whereas Hats Off to Roy Harper changed gears a little bit. But this is a really cool song, and I really like that. And of course, Since I've Been Loving You, it's really just an alternate take. It's an off-the-floor take. But it's a slightly different solo, it's a slightly different, you know, and they handle things a little differently. It's not a song they ever played exactly the same every time, and they didn't do it here. So it's such a deep song, such a meaningful, moving song, that to hear a different version of it is always welcome. So I'll take that. All right, and then we get into the below-the-line stuff, the stuff that I found... I think just disappointing, mostly based on expectations or based on looking at three, you know, what, or House of the Holy, what could be done. So start with Presence. Presence is 2-1-0-1, which is just Achilles' Last Stand with some instruments missing. For Your Life, 10 Ribs, Carrot Pod Pod, Royal Orleans, and Hot Song for Nowhere. For one, this is really short. This is disappointingly short. I think a while ago Jimmy said he had the whole album. He had a very different variation of the whole album. That apparently is not true. There's no Nobody's Fault But Mine. There's no Candy Store Rock. There's no T-for-One variation. T-for-One variants might have been interesting. A different, much like Since I've Been Loving You, a different solo, a different... That might have been something interesting. Nah. Yeah. So there's, other than 10 Ribs and All, Carrot Pod Pod, which is just kind of a... It's forgettable because I've forgotten what it is. How's that? I can't even remember how it goes. But it's all right. This is all right. 10 Ribs and All, Carrot Pod Pod was the piano piece. A nice little piano piece that runs through, and it was pretty, but it was very incomplete. And I would have liked to have heard of something completed, something, you know, more thought out, but we weren't getting that at that time, and they're not going to start revisiting that stuff now, I think. I know. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to get Robert Plant in to add some vocals. And I suggested before, All My Love may have sprung from this. This may have, you know, over the 2 years between recording 10 Ribs and All Carrot Pod Pod, that may have transformed into All My Love. But I could be way off on that too. But it's a nice piece, but that's all it is. And it's the only reason this one winds up at the top of the bad pile is because it's got a different song, a new song. And in fairness, the Achilles is kind of hot sounding, kind of good sounding. A disappointment with this whole set, presence overall. I have in my car, I picked up at the used CD store, but a year and a half ago, Presence, and I threw it in. It's so hot sounding. It's unbelievably loud and full and ballsy sounding and hot. When I put this one in, it was nowhere near. So from a pure sound, driving down the road, I prefer the other CD I have to this one. It's the only one of the 9 remasters that I would say that about, that I have another version I like better off the top of my head. But I may have just lucked out into one batch of CD. You know what I mean? I don't know why this one is special. I never read that it is. I mean, sometimes you read about, there's a really hot version of this or that out there. But it may just be a batch that was made that, but it is so hot, so good, and so much better than this one. So this one's disappointing on both levels to me. How's that? Okay, In Through the Outdoor, we get In the Evening, Southbound Soiree, Southbound Piano, they call it, Fool in the Rain, Hot Dog, The Epic, which is Carousel Amber, The Hook, which is All My Love, The Blot, which is I'm Gonna Crawl. And here's... This one rates higher than Physical Graffiti 2 and 4, strictly because of the epic. Carousel Amber was kind of a funny, not funny ha-ha, but just kind of, it was a muddled mix of a song and production, that's the standard kind of complaint against it, and the one hope a lot of people had going into these remasters that they would clean up Carousel Amber, and this is the cleaned up version. And so you get to hear it properly. You get to kind of get a feel for what they're doing more, for the movement. The song got a lot of motions, a lot of movements in it. It's not, again, not a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. It swells and orchestrates, and there's changes gears. And this really kind of brings that aspect of the song out in a way you miss on the original album. Hot Dog's a little more stripped back, which is kind of cool, too. But other than that, I thought this was... One of the little measurements I kind of try to take on this, if I played this for somebody who's a casual Led Zeppelin fan, would they recognize the difference? Would they go, oh, that's a different version of Southbound Soiree's? Oh, that's a different version of... And I think my answer is no. Matter of fact, I have my niece in the car, and she sings along there. Whatever song, you can't fool her. She, for some reason, she knows every song going. And she sits and sings along. She was sitting and singing, and she never once said, that's different. She sat and sang along every song in this album. And never said, yeah, that's a different version. Sorry, she didn't sing along to Carousel Amber. That was one I probably fooled her a little on. Although she picked up on the hook. and it was kind of singing along to that, the melody and the hook. Sorry, by the hook I mean the one of the instrumental versions anyway. One of the instrumental parts of Carousel Alhambra, the guitar kind of instrumental part. When it comes in with a little riff, she kind of picked up on that. Alright, and then we have Physical Graffiti. We are down to number 7 on the list, by the way. 3 from the bottom. And it is Brandy and Coke, which is Trample Underfoot. Sick Again, In My Time of Dying, House of the Holy, Everybody Makes It Through the Light, Driving Through Kashmir, and Boogie with Stu. And Driving Through Kashmir is rough orchestra mixed. In the Light, the Everybody Makes It Through is In the Light, an early version. I've said before, I prefer the Coda version to this version, which shouldn't happen, right? Coda should be the scrap it early version. This is the really cool version, we'll put it. The only reason this is not the bottom of the pile, because there's nothing here that does anything interesting for me, except for In My Time of Dying, which is a song I love. It's like in through the, like Since I've Been Loving You, I it just moves. And they've done a slightly different version of it, and it's got a slightly different feel and a slightly different touch to it. Not a lot, not a significant one, but a big fan like myself notices it. But that's the only reason this isn't at the bottom of the pile. It's nothing else on that. Was anything in any way, I thought, significantly different from what we were presented with? Again, you know, Kashmir's on the car, my niece is singing along to it. She doesn't go, hey, this is a bit different. She just, it's the same song, right? Alright, and number 2, this is second from the bottom, is the second album, number 2, which has a whole lot of love, Rough Mix, What Is and What Should Never Be, Rough Mix with Vocal, Thank You, Heartbreaker, Living Loving Maid, Ramble On, and Moby Dick. And Heartbreaker's Rough Mix with Vocal. And I just, I don't know. Yeah, I had to pick a worst, and this wasn't it. I don't know what to say there. The Whole Lot of Love, Rough Mix was a little, some of the stuff was a little bit different. Whole Lot of Love was a little bit different. Heartbreaker was a little bit different. Ramble On was a little bit different. So, not a lot different, and some of the stuff is really not a lot different. But the two instrumental, the backing track, Living Loving Maid, and Thank You, there's nothing interesting going on in Thank You musically. And that's maybe a bit unfair, but nothing to really hold your ear for a long time without the words. The same goes for Living Loving. Living Loving Maid, definitely, it's not unfair to say that. It's just not that interesting a song. In the first place, the lyrics bring it, and it's got a good groove, so the lyrics kind of give you something to let the groove wave over you. You need the lyrics, the melody and the lyrics, to distract your attention so the groove can kind of hit your body. A guy's playing guitar. That's what it sounds like. Okay, whatever. So to me, too, was, even though not my favorite album in the first place, a big disappointment. Big, big, big disappointment. And that they presented the first album as a live album, and then the second album they have nothing of significance to add. That was a disappointment. You would have hoped maybe some stuff from the first album makes it onto the second album. Maybe some outtakes there or something. But there was such a thing, and there is rumor, for instance, that they did Train Kept a Rollin', that they recorded it. But something like that's not going to make it, I guess. Who knows? Some of those early sessions, did they record them? There was rumors. There's definitely a rumor that they recorded the first time they got together in a room. And it's not going to be significant. You're not going to be blown away by what you heard. But it's historically important, and it would have been really nice to get that. But for the first two albums, we get a live album, which I have no complaints against that. If that's the way you want to go, that's perfect. I'm all over that. But the second one becomes very disappointing, in part because there's nothing of interest from the second album thrown onto it. And there's nothing very of interest from the first album that they could have slipped in there. So that's, yeah. that's... And then there's the fourth album, which is the worst in, of the remasters, for my opinion. And the reason is simple, because there's virtually no difference between the original album and the bonus. You know, Battle of Evermore is acoustic, and Going to California is acoustic, and the first... But everything else is an alternate mix, and so you understand what they mean by that. That does not mean they went into the studio on a different day and recorded a different version of the song, and that's an alternate mix. An alternate mix is the exact same song, with the exact same guitar parts, with the exact same vocal parts, with the exact same keyboard parts, with the exact same everything. And they twiddled the knobs differently. And they went in on a different day, in this case weeks apart, in a different studio, and what they aimed to get was the same sound. Because they weren't thinking, 40 years from now, this will be interesting. They were thinking, we want the best album. And they were thinking, this is how I want it to sound. So they were trying to get a set sound. And of course, if I gave you a bunch of music files, okay, how do you like this? How do you play? How are you going to, you know, twiddle the knobs so it sounds the best? Today and tomorrow, you're going to twiddle those knobs slightly different. That's what would have happened here. But they were after the same kind of sound. Professional musicians with good musical ears, or professional producers with good musical ears. So these guys are, you know, good at recreating what they want to hear, what they think, what the sound they're after, they're good at recreating it. So the fundamental difference between Black Dog, well, the Black Dog, they threw in an overdub, a vocal overdub that's almost silly. It sounds like some drunk singing along with a song. After that, everything's alternate mixes, or, you know, the no vocal mix, Going to California, Battle of Evermore. Stereo to Heaven's just a different studio. Mr. Mountain Hop, alternate mix. Four Sticks, alternate mix. When the Levee Breaks, alternate mix. And When the Levee Breaks, interesting only because the drum sound's dialed down a little bit. Lots of people talked about Stereo to Heaven. Oh, the recorders are higher in the mix. Oh, this and that. The only positive I would say is Stereo to Heaven, I think the solo's a little up in the mix, which I always thought should have been much more up in the mix than even it is here. But there's not a chance. If I'm sorry. If you put this on, Stereo to Heaven, or Rock and Roll, or... you know, Four Sticks, Mr. Mountain Hop. You put it on and didn't tell me it was a different version. I don't think I would catch that. Never mind my niece sitting singing in the car. Never mind my wife or something. I throw Stereo to Heaven on my wife and think it's the exact same thing. If I told her it's a different version, she'd be going, I'm not hearing it. Because I don't hear it. You know? And I've sat and studied. Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe the recorders are a little up. And so to me, this one was, and especially when we know, for instance, there was an exceptional version of When the Levee Breaks floating around out there that they decided to give to Coda. Instead of this one that's just the exact same recording with all the drums sounding different. This one is disappointing. This one is almost insulting. And it's the bottom of the, and I have no problems calling it the bottom of the pile. And it's probably, on a given week, it may or may not be my favorite Led Zeppelin album. It may or may not be my favorite album of all time on a given week. You know what I mean? Like I said, there's two groups, and, you know, three, I go through phases where three, oh, I love that, it's the best album ever. And then I go four, In Through the Outdoor, I love certain parts of it, and Presence is lately, the last, you know, 5 or 6 years kind of gone up in the list, and there are times when I go, oh, this is the greatest album ever. But four gets that distinction sometimes, but it's so disappointing in what they produced in terms of alternate material for four, and that they stuck some stuff in the back end on Coda. It's really disappointing. Really, really disappointing, I think. Okay. something here. So I wanted to go over the new songs. There were new songs with La La, Keys of the Highway, Ten Ribs, Carrot Pod Pod, and I'm missing one. See, I went through all this, and I still end up missing something. St. Tristan's Sword. See, I got stuff all over the map here. All over the map. Oh, it's not good. So St. Tristan's Sword. And give me uno momento to figure myself out. Uno momento. No, 10 carrots. Pod, pod, pod. Yeah, so the new songs. New songs were. And I may be missing one here. I just got that feeling I am. But on 3, we had Keys to the Highway, Trouble on My Mind. On Presence, we had... on 2, we had Lala. On Presence, we had 10 Ribs and All, Carrot, Pod, Pod, Pod. And on Coda, we had St. Tristan's Sword. Is there not another one on Coda? Let's see, I'm feeling almost for sure I'm missing something. I think a lot of the stuff, the next list I'm going to make, I'll give you, I think is where a lot of the Coda stuff comes from, actually. That may be the truth. That may be the truth of the thing. But yeah, so those are the 4 songs that are brand new. And, yep, that's, okay, that's it. Boy, you were hoping for more over 9 albums. Keys of the Highway, Trouble on My Mind is probably the best of them, if for no other reason than it's the one complete new song. There's nothing else here that's kind of completed. La La is kind of a fun jam up. I made a crack at the time. I think I compared it to the Partridge Family. In an intro somewhere some time back. It just kind of had that early 70s pop feel. 10 Ribs and All, Carrot Pop Pod, I've talked a bit about that here. That's a nice little piano piece that maybe turned into something else, maybe was developed outward. And St. Tristan's Sword is kind of a cool rockin'... Yeah, it's got some good stuff going on, and I'm trying to place it in my mind, and I haven't listened to it enough, you know what I mean? But that's the new songs. And then we have significantly altered songs over the set, and this is a bigger list. And this is a bit of a judgmental list, a judgment call list. You may say, oh, such and such, such and such, and you may even be right. I was trying to pick stuff here that's really, really different. Such as Since I've Been Loving You is a whole other take. There's no parts, as far as I know, there's no parts that go from one version to the next. It's the whole band doing different song. It's not a significantly different song, I guess, but it's a noticeably different song. Jennings Farm Blues is an electric version of an acoustic song. That's significantly different. I talked about this. The Song Remains the Same is instrumental and really, really strikingly brings out the band, I think. And Over the Hills and Far Away, it does the same. Really, really brings out the songwriting and the band. In My Time of Dying, much like Since I've Been Loving You, it's just a different version in it. Although not a significantly altered one, I think I would say. We got the Everybody Makes It Through in the Light, and In the Light Early from Physical Graffiti, and Not Early from Coda. And those are really quite different, and then really, again, like the epic, highlight the parts much more so than happens in the album, which, maybe, yeah, I don't know, maybe that's a bad thing. I'm not even sure what I'm trying to say on that. Except maybe that's what they were after in the album, was not to highlight the parts. We want it to seem more seamless than this. But yeah, it kind of really highlights what the song is. again, the epic, we talked about that. If It Keeps on Raining, which is a completely alternate version of When the Levee Breaks. Different guitars, different tempo, different groove, different feel. It's a really cool version of the song. Maybe the best thing in terms of, that came out on this set. Maybe of the surprises, this may be the big one. This and Keys of the Highway may be the two biggies going, that really changes things. The Bombay Orchestra stuff, Four Hands and Friends, which is Four Hands is Four Sticks and Friends, the Bombay Orchestra stuff. Those are obviously very different. They're being done differently by a different band, really. That's Page and Plant and some other musicians. Which makes it, an argument can be made, it shouldn't be there because it's not a Led Zeppelin piece. It's Page and Plant. But I don't think in this, I don't think that's a problem. To me, it's not a problem. So that's my final take on these. Unless something interesting comes up with the remasters down the road, I don't see, other than checkpointing them, referencing them once in a while. Remember when they did that on Coda? I don't see me going back to this well again. So thanks for listening. That was Ramble On Radio episode 105. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, for Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes for any reason whatsoever, pop on over, search Ramble On Radio. It comes up really quick, and leave a review. Give it a star. Give it 3 stars. One of these days, I'm actually going to obsessively go over the reviews. Every once in a while, I kind of look, but I don't really check it very closely because it's not easy to do, is the thing. There's not they don't get emailed to me or something, which I wish they would. They go by country, so I actually have to change the country code on my computer to check a different country. Don't worry about, I'll offend him if I put a 1. I don't care, and I wouldn't see, I'm likely not going to see it anyway. Unless you're in Canada, I check Canada once in a while. Just if you leave a review, though, if you drop a star and leave a review, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it helps the computers at iTunes to it bumps me up the list. Basically creates popularity for you. Listen on Spreaker, and be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. SPREAKER.com. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 105.
Keep it cool. I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.